Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in and share your real ghost story with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You have plenty of ways to do it. Of course, you can also write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or if you would like to record using one of those lovely audio recording programs on your smartphone, you can do that. Then email the audio over to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. There you go. That's what we're doing today. We're hearing your calls and your stories. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
How are you?
I am I'm joyous.
Okay.
I guess. I'm actually a little bit frustrated because I came in here today into the studio and was working on recording some stuff earlier. And I think a ghost must have been in here over the weekend because somebody felt the urge to completely mess with all of my knobs over here on my audio processor for okay. our microphones. And anyone who knows about a microphone processor, they're very finicky. Uh-huh. It's like when you get your settings for the voice that you're using it with primarily, you don't touch it. I mean, in radio stations, they'd be behind lock and key. Because you'd always have like some part-timer on the weekend going, I'm going to fiddle with this because I'm going to make it sound so much better. And then it would just be a nightmare for everybody else who uses it daily. So anyway, a ghost changed the settings.
I don't think it was a ghost.
You don't?
No, I think it was somebody during one of the showings.
I think it's a ghost. I'm going to go with ghost. Well, over the weekend, I don't know if we talked about this on their live show or on this show yet or if it was just on the EPP episode. I don't remember.
I don't know.
Have I mentioned this yet, everybody? You let me know. We're picking up and we're going to be moving. So we're having to figure out the logistics of all of that and, you know, how, you know, we moved the studio essentially from point A to point B. It will not affect the show or the amount of shows or anything like that. It's just we're going to move the desk several hundred miles.
Mm-hmm.
We're heading over to the we have listeners over there too.
We have
listeners everywhere, but the Branson, Missouri and Springfield, Missouri area mm-hmm. is where we are going to be landing here in the next couple of months. But anyway, yeah, the house was shown a gazillion times over the weekend, and they come in here and they look at the office and they're kind of perplexed, like, what's going on in there?
Yeah, so they mess with all your knobs. I bet a kid did it.
Probably.
Well, I had my mouse. It took me embarrassing amount of time to figure out what was going on with my mouse. Somebody had switched it just simply to off on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of the wireless mouse.
Sure.
And I was like trying to figure out what was wrong with my computer.
How much time was wasted on that?
Maybe 2 or 3 minutes more than it should have been.
It's off. Yep.
Yeah, I think somebody did that to me too.
There you go. So I don't know what the urge people have is to mess with that. They probably just don't know.
Just little shits.
Yeah. Or I wonder if it was like a radio person or something. Oh, I just mind it. Because radio people do that shit too. to other radio people. Not to be mean, but it's more of like, well, I know better than you on this setting or that setting.
No, I and bet it was like, just an asshole kid.
Probably.
That's all.
Probably. But anyway, I think I got it all fixed back up. I took a picture of it, like, I don't know, probably about a year ago when I installed these in this studio. And I took a picture just in case, because when they get messed up, it's hard to know where everything goes. So I had to, like, go through all of my pictures back a year to find that one that showed me where everything was. And I just readjusted and tuned back in. So there you go. I was hoping you'd go with me on Ghost on that, but
sorry.
Damn.
We do look for logical explanations on this show as well.
Only for other people.
Okay. For you.
For me, it's a solid paranormal. Okay. That's the best way.
Your office is haunted.
Exactly. Exactly. Somehow it just randomly smells like pancakes sometimes in the morning through in here.
Burnt pancakes.
Because the oven is on the other side of the wall. Like, ooh, ghostly pancakes.
Burnt pancakes today.
And then smoke comes through, and that's mist. It's an orby mist that's coming through. Not burned pancakes. Orby mist.
She tried.
She did.
It
she
was
did.
Cute.
She really did. Let's go to our first caller today. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jennifer. I like to keep myself anonymous, so I'm not going to tell you my name. I had a couple of creepy things happen over the course of my 33 years on this lovely earth. I got to make this quick because I got to get the girls up in about 10 minutes for school. This first thing happened to me right when around I was 4 or 5 years old. I was visiting my great aunt's house with my grandmother, and it was just her, myself, and my aunt Pat, the great aunt. They said I was allowed to go look around the house because her house was pretty old, and I always liked older homes. So there was a plaque on the outside of the door. It was landmark home. She wasn't allowed to update it or anything. It was all original. The plaque on the door said 1852, I believe, is when it was built. Anyway, as I'm looking around the house, I get these weird feelings and, like, something, I guess I want to say maybe the feeling of dread. As I was walking up the steps, very narrow hallway, very narrow steps, and there was a door at the very top. I remember being right about the height of the doorknob, so I was pretty small. So when I opened the door, I saw a woman lying in the bed. She seemed to be like a bigger woman. She looked like she was sweating. She looked sick. We actually made eye contact, and she looked just as surprised to see me as I was her. And as soon as I saw her, she breathed in, like, you know, that gasping sound you make when you're struggling for air. And I remember seeing these purple, like, orb lights around her, and that's what scared me. I immediately closed the door and ran downstairs. I was petrified. I remember going running up to my grandmother, telling her what I saw. And she said, oh, honey, it's nothing. You didn't see anything. Don't worry about it. You're fine. And to this day, it still, like, pops up every now and then. I remember it vividly. I remember the color of her hair. It was dark brown, like, taped. Like, it looked sweated to her skin. Like, she was, like, she didn't look too comfortable. I remember what she was wearing. It was, like, looked like all white coverall. And that was pretty weird. I never went back to Aunt Pat's house after that. I was too scared to. When I was older, probably around 16, my Aunt Pat did tell me, your grandmother told me you saw the woman in the bed. And I said, yeah, I did. Well, she said, after that, she told me, well, it's okay. She comes and goes. She doesn't do anything. And usually she's just laying there staring. That disturbed me a little bit that they didn't want to tell me. Obviously, when I was little, I did see something. But she told me that every time she walks into that room, she gets a weird feeling, and sometimes she's able to see her. Unfortunately, Aunt Pat had to sell the home. She passed away right around, I think, when I was about 21. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you guys that, get that one off my chest, because I haven't told anyone that. I told my husband that one recently, And he really doesn't know what I saw. Like, I just, it always stuck with me, and I don't know. I just think about it sometimes. But thanks for hearing me out. You guys have a good day. I'm going to get the girls up and get them ready for school. Have a nice one. Bye.
That'd be a great one to share with the girls over a nice bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios.
You know, it's a really old place, so it's really hard to know, you know, who it was or anything like that. But I think she just flat out saw a ghost.
Yeah. Maybe not necessarily a lot of meaning behind it. We always kind of, you know, I think as people, we strive to find the meaning and who it was, and it might just have been someone there.
I think not only are children more sensitive, I think ghosts probably are, I don't know, more willing to show themselves to children, especially female ghosts, I think.
Just because they're, it's like, oh, kids, you know.
Yeah.
You know, having fun and, you know, people like kids, you know, at least sane people.
Yeah.
For the most part. So, yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Interesting story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. This is Quetzal calling from North Texas. I've called before. I'm the one that had the story of the night terrors as a child. Just wanted to call you guys back and thank you for sharing my story. That was really great getting to hear it on the broadcast. Or on the podcast. I have another story. I have a lot of stories, so you'll be hearing back from me. But I have a specific one that happened to me when I was a young mother. My son was about probably 2 years old at the time. And I was working in Dallas, but the main office of my company was in Arlington. So I used to have to drive once a week to Arlington to pick up payroll checks, paychecks for our employees. So I had been, and during this time, I had been struggling with a lot of really low energy issues. I was having a problem with when I was driving, I would get very drowsy and I would struggle, especially if I was on the freeway. I would have to struggle to stay awake or have to pull over and kind of wake myself up. And this day, I was really having trouble. I was on my way to Arlington to pick up the checks, and I got really drowsy and really tired, really sleepy on that drive. It's just a straight shot on the freeway, so it's long and boring. I made it to Arlington, picked up, and then I drove back, and on my way back, it happened again where I got very drowsy, very sleepy. The cool thing, though, was that usually once I got off the freeway and onto the regular streets, I would be fine. I would wake, I would be completely alert, no problems. well, this time, for whatever reason, it didn't help. I exited off the freeway and thought, okay, finally I can just feel normal, wake up, and I'll be okay, you know, getting to the bank because I had to go to the bank. Well, it didn't happen, and I was still very drowsy, very tired. I think I was about, and you know, I think about it, and I was in my 20s. I shouldn't have been, you know, having these problems. Well, actually, yeah, I was in my early 20s. So, but it was just issues going on at home and stuff that I think caused that. But I was on my way to the bank. I was very drowsy, very sleepy, and I was being very stupid by not pulling over, but I was in a hurry. I was trying to get to where I was going because I had a time limit to get back to my office. So I didn't pull over and wake myself up this time. I was just trying to get to my destination. And just as I was nearing where the bank was going to be, there was a car in front of me. We were going probably about 45 miles an hour. And I suddenly fell asleep at the wheel. I mean, it was just like somebody snapped a finger and I was out. I did have a little bit of awareness, but it was very, very small. Like I felt my head fall forward, like I just been knocked out, but I felt that. I knew that was happening. It was weird. It was like I was watching myself. And the car in front of me slowed down to turn. It was making a right turn. Well, of course, I wasn't slowing down because I was asleep at the wheel. And this all happened within an instant. I felt two hands come from behind me and fasten to my face, like put my hand, the hands were like touching my face, palms against my face, fingers, I felt everything. There were big hands. And the moment they touched my face, I felt this, it felt as if someone had dumped a bucket of adrenaline into my body. I reacted, you know, it pulled, the hands pulled my face up. I reacted by going, like, you know, taking a deep breath, like coming out from underwater after almost drowning. And I opened my eyes, shot open, and I saw in front of me that I was just about to hit the car in front of me. I slammed the brakes. This all happened within a few seconds, like not even a few seconds, probably a couple of seconds. As I opened my eyes, slammed the brakes, and I was just a hair close to hitting the car in front of me. I almost had a horrible accident. I mean, I had a seatbelt on, but I had a bad habit of sitting real close to my steering wheel. So I'm almost positive I would have, my chest would have caved in with that accident. And of course I'm just freaking out because I almost had an accident. I feel like I probably almost died. And on top of that, what woke me up were a pair of hands that made my face tingle and dumped a bunch of adrenaline into my system. So when I calmed down enough, I looked behind me. There was no one in the car with me. I was by myself. But I still looked behind me because, you know, I felt those two hands on my face. You know, by that time they were gone, but that's what woke me up. And I always wondered what that was, because when the hands touched my face, I saw this bright, bright, bright light, like flash in my eyes. So yeah, it was, needless to say, very, very unusual. So I would love to hear your opinion on this. You know, back in the day, I used to think that was my guardian angel that saved me from possibly dying. I don't know. I mean, it could have been a good spirit that was protecting me. Who knows? But yeah, I think that that day was my day to either survive or die. And I survived that one. But it was with the help of a very good spirit, entity, angel, whatever you want to call it, that saved my life. So my life was saved by this being. Well, I hope you like the story, and hope you get to share it. If you have questions about this, you can email me, Tony. I'm sending this to you by email, and I would love to talk to you about it. And I have, like I said, I have many, many other stories that happened to me, happened to family members. Our family has a lot of these things. So thank you, and I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful day. And all the listeners out there, I hope you all enjoyed this story. And I hope I didn't take too long to get to the gist of it. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for calling in and sharing that experience. I think sometimes you just have, you know, whether it be an angel or something, it's just not your time.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it is knows it needs to intervene to prevent it from being that time.
Sure.
And maybe that is a guardian angel. Maybe it's just whoever is roaming the area is getting the message, you got to do this right now for this person, mm-hmm. you know, being the ghost. I don't know. Because there's a lot of stories where it does point to being like a family member or something. And there's some where it's just like, I don't know who the hell would this possibly could be. Or you have someone else with similar saving experiences mm-hmm. that are completely unrelated to the area, related to the area, but not related to a person.
Sure.
Meaning maybe it's someone that is more so related to the area than it is so the person that it's happening to. Does that make any sense?
It does. Okay. It does. Like maybe somebody that was in an accident in that general vicinity or something like that. Yeah. I also wondered, could it have also been maybe not necessarily somebody looking out for her throughout her life, but maybe somebody looking out for the person who she was about to hit.
Sure. That could be it too.
And then they were like, oop, no, zap into that car and wake that chick up. So
It could be any of the above, and we'll never really know. But it's a good thing it happened that way.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing your experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to get your story over to us and on the air. Let's go over to another caller and hear another real ghost story.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. I just want to start off by saying I love your guys' show. I think I found a real gem. It's funny because I found it looking for creepypastas, and I thought it was going to be something like that, but I was happily surprised that it was a call-in type show with real people, real stories, and I just think that's a lot of fun. And I'm what you would call a positive skeptic. I tend to look for the scientific explanation behind it all, but one paranormal experience, and the only paranormal experience I've ever had, has kept my mind open, and it involves my grandfather. See, he was an old Irish guy and real mean, and apparently gave my mom and my aunts and uncles a real hell of a time growing up, canings and other types of like spanking and harsh punishment. But he was nice to his grandkids, me and my cousins. And I even remember my mom commenting that he was a real bastard because it's like he's getting at the adults again by being nice to the grandkids. Anyway, whenever he didn't like what we were doing, he would shake his shillelagh at us, which is, you know, a blackthorn cane and has a bunch of knots on it, and definitely something you don't want to get hit with. So whenever we misbehaved, he would shake it at us and threaten to whip our baptizers with it. And he was a crazy old guy. But one day he slips in the tub and breaks his leg. And he's put out for a good couple months because of this. Because of his age, he was in the 70s. And was having a real hard time with it. And when he finally got released, a few days after a few days at home, one day he's sleeping on, it wasn't really a couch, but more of a day bed. And so it's a good two feet off the ground, like higher than a normal couch would be. And he falls asleep. And but then he rolls off the daybed while he's sleeping and falls in such a way that he breaks his neck and he becomes paralyzed from the waist down. I mean, from the neck down, I'm sorry. And then he's in the hospital again. And I remember we visited him and the energy of the room was just so negative. He could barely speak. And I was 7, 8 years old at the time. And I was just really confused by the whole thing. And I remember my mom being very distraught. But the energy in our room, it was just so overpowering. And I remember like hiding in the corner and I just did not want to be there. It all felt like self-loathing and self-pity. Like, it was all directed towards my grandfather. Anyway, a few days later, after we visit him, he dies. I don't remember exactly of what. My mom tells me he had a whole host of health problems. But, so they arrange a funeral and we go. And the church where he was having it at was this big old Catholic church, and he had the main entranceway, which was, you know, normal double doors, and you enter those, and there was like a hallway / lobby, and then they had the big old doors that led into the main hall. and still not understanding, still being a little kid, I was getting bored during a funeral service, and I managed to get away from my mom and into that little lobby, and then I looked through the glass of the entrance doors, and because something had caught my eye, and once I got it into focus, I saw it was my grandfather, like, outside, pointing his shillelagh at me, shaking it at me, and I was just astounded, and I wasn't scared, I just got real excited, and I just turn around, and I run into the main hall, and just scream out, and everybody looks at me, like, Grandpa's not gone, he's over here, and I turn back, and he's gone. He's just gone. And I'm just sitting there so confused, like not moving, just like jaw drops, and I'm snapped out of it by my mom grabbing my shoulder and then leading me by the ear back to my seat and her slapping me on the wrist. And any time I tried to talk the whole rest of the day in the car ride home, she'd tell me shut up, and I was in time as soon as I got home. And I get in trouble every time I brought it up, so I stopped talking about it. But I know it happened. I saw him as clearly as anyone else that was there that day.
Okay. You know, when you see somebody that's just died, mm-hmm. it's kind of like it's still such a shock to your system
mm-hmm.
that they're gone. It's kind of like it almost doesn't register at first.
That it's even a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're just so used to seeing that person and you think, oh, yeah, you know, wait a second, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I could see that being...
Yeah, especially around the funeral itself. It's mm-hmm. kind of a, you know, obviously a confusing time, but it's kind of even more confusing when you're like, wait, am I really seeing this?
Mm-hmm. Because you're still processing everything.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's interesting, we have, you know, stories where the dead come back essentially right around that time of right after they've passed to some people wonder, are they going to always be a ghost now? Are they going to follow me around? But in a lot of cases, those are simply just kind of like they're there for a little bit. They're doing their goodbyes or whatever, and then they're out.
Yeah.
And then they're no longer haunting individuals. So it's really just kind of, you know, depends what the track record ends up being,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as if it's going to be a long-term haunting or if that case sounds like it was just kind of that case.
It does.
That isolated incident of the ghost. But that's pretty cool when he was able to be that finite on who it was.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't like, oh, we got a sign or like, you know, or a vase tipped over there or something. It's like, well, is that you or is that some other ghost?
Right.
So thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And by the way, if you enjoyed this program, we'd love it if you became an EPP, extra podcast person. That's what keeps this thing on the air. It covers all those hard costs we got to do this show, ranging from equipment to the bandwidth to the hosting, meaning like the web hosting of it, all the web expenses that go along with it. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes to keep this thing operating. So if everybody chips in about $5 a month, we can certainly keep it going. So if you like what you hear and you want to be part of this thing, sign up to be an EPP. And in exchange, you get a bonus episode of the show every single week, exclusive video content, and even more. And you can sign up on our EPP website, which is ghostpodcast.com. Ghostpodcast.com. So check that out. Hi.
Do over. Hi, this is Carol Dowd calling from a beautiful day in North Tonawanda. I'm just calling with my fourth part of my strange paranormal happenings. This one is a really good one. It's not scary at all. Well, some people might think it is, but some people might find it encouraging. So, anyways, it was a Sunday night about 3 years ago, and I got a phone call, and it was my brother and sister-in-law calling that my dad had a stroke. He was in an assisted living facility for a number of years and was doing pretty good. And but they knew it would happen sometime or another because he did have a blood clot that was just kind of, you know, waiting to do its damage. So he had stroke. So my husband and I went up to the hospital that night, and they said that the doctor had said that half of his brain had been destroyed by the stroke, and that the other half would eventually go, and he couldn't see, hear, speak, you know, do anything. We don't even know if he was really aware that we were there. To me, it looked like he was scared to death because he was in this blank world, and he was grabbing our hands and hanging on to them, and it was a really difficult thing to see. And the whole family got up there, and we're standing around, and it's like, well, you know, it's getting late, so we all went home. The doctor told us that it would be maybe a day and maybe a week. He didn't know when my dad was going to, you know, pass as far as the prognosis of how quick the progression would be. So that night I went to bed, and I laid there awake forever, it seemed. And I finally did fall asleep, and I believe I astral projected. My father took me to the Rainbow Bridge to, like, register for his pets, I guess, that he'd had as a child. And it's a very disorganized looking place, but it's a very nice place for the animals to be. I know this sounds really, really weird. People are just going to be like, you're crazy. But I really felt like I was there. I can remember everything in detail. It was very strange. And then I woke up, and I got up, and my husband said, do you want to go see your dad today? And I said, well, they don't know when he's going to pass on, so instead of you wasting a day off, why don't we go tomorrow? And I swear to God, Monday was the longest day I've ever lived in my entire life. And my husband finally got home, and we went to bed, and I laid there again, not being able to sleep, and all of a sudden I was asleep, and I believe that I astral projected yet again. I was floating up at the ceiling over my dad's hospital bed, and all of a sudden he whips the covers off and jumps out of the bed and starts running out of the room and down the hall yelling, Ruth! Ruth! And Ruth is my sister-in-law. Why he was calling after my sister-in-law, I don't know. There's me and my sister and my brother to choose from, but he chose to call after my sister-in-law. So then he came back in the room all dejected, and he's like, oh, I just wanted a drink of water. And all of a sudden, we were in this bright white light, like on this pillar. And it was almost as if you were in an elevator, standing in an elevator and looking out, like the doors are open, and you're looking out. And I see my dad there, and he's hanging out with all these people I don't know, probably friends of his from Lockport when he fought in World War II. A lot of the young men that he went to war with were killed. My mom was there. I mean, and they were having a great time, just laughing and backslapping each other and shaking hands. And I mean, it looked like they were really having a great time. And I'm like, this is awesome. And all of a sudden it was as if the doors remained open on the elevator, you know, on that floor. And I started floating down on this pillar, and I just kind of, you know, was looking up as it disappeared, and then once all that disappeared, I woke up, and my husband was just getting off the phone, and I went out there, and I looked at him, and I said, and he says, yeah, that was your brother, and I said, really? Ruth was the last one to see him, right? And he said, yeah, she was the last one to check in on him this morning. And he looked at me, and I didn't want to tell the story because it was just too bizarre. And I really believe that my dad wanted to let me know that everything was going to be okay, that he was going to a place where it was going to be okay, and I was absolutely blessed to have him as father and blessed to have him care that much that this would happen for me. I told some other people, some believed me. Of course, my husband thinks I'm completely insane. But I had such a great feeling. Even at his funeral, it was sad, but it was like, you know what? This is awesome. I got up and I read his letter that the family got when he received his Bronze Star with Oak Leaf Cluster for basically putting himself in harm's way. He was under live fire in Europe during the war, and he did that in order for his platoon to get a better spot to attack the enemy. And I felt so proud of him for being the person that he was. And, you know, I told everybody he wouldn't want to be known as a great man. He would just want everybody to remember him as a good man who lived a good life and, you know, cared for his family the best he could. And that's my fourth and hopefully last story. If you want me to call in with a real big creep fest from my mother-in-law's stories, I can do that because she's got a lot of weird stuff that's happened to her prior to her husband passing on and post her husband passing on. So that's what I got. I hope this helps some people who are wondering, are my relatives okay? Don't have to call a psychic. It's all right. So, anyways, that's my story. Thanks, and I hope to talk to you again soon. Bye.
I think that is so neat that she basically got to witness what happens from the time that he passed away to the, you know, where he's getting somewhere and he's recognizing people that have already gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's not only a very comforting thing, but, you know, having some of the details actually be accurate from what she saw,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, what really happened, kind of just verifies, yeah, it wasn't just a dream or a vision or anything like that, that, you know, was kind of a glimpse into what was going on.
It seems to go a bit beyond just the dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the idea of getting your pets back.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pets, though. Do you have to feed them all, or do they have instant pet feeders in on the other side?
I don't know. Do you get to eat on the other side?
You better be able. I love eating.
I know.
I would think that, you know, that's a thing of joy or enjoyment. I would hope so. Do you get sushi on the other side?
I hope so.
Do you get, but this would be bad, because what if it's like, I know you do not enjoy the raw fish on the sushi. You enjoy more of like the fried shrimp in the sushi.
Tempura rolls, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But what if they had sushi, but all it was like raw eel?
Then I might do something else.
But that's the only option.
Mm-hmm. No.
If your choices were raw eel, sushi.
I don't want to play Would You Rather.
Or, you know, like melon. Yeah,
it's a texture. I would eat melon over eel.
You would? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, melon versus broccoli. Raw.
Probably melon still.
Okay. I don't know. I gotta like make a whole chart of this one to play this game and see what wins out at the end. But I don't know. I would hope that food is on the other side, but you never really hear a whole lot about the ghosts eating. Doing stuff, people see that, but mm-hmm. there's not like a lot of, I don't know.
Messing with your food, but.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting. Thank you for sharing that. We do really appreciate your stories. So thank you for calling in and getting that to us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next caller. Hi, Asher. Hi.
Hey, my name is Asher from Maine. I just recently started listening, and I really wanted to tell you guys my story. I'm recording this on GarageBand, So hopefully everything goes smoothly and it exports and you guys get this file well. And if you hear anything in the background, it's either my dog or my cats, so that's nothing supernatural. But yeah, so I need to give you a little backstory. First of all, I believe myself to be an empath because of the experience I'm about to tell you about, and also because it runs in my mother's side of the family, and I have a lot of the personality traits of an empath as well. So the house that I grew up in and that I am in right now, my mother bought it. It must have been 1984, I believe, with her now ex-husband, and my brother was 2 at the time. So this house was in the Lord family for generations and generations. It's like 150 years old. So it's pretty old, and people were born here and people died here and all that. And then there was, I guess, a fire here. I'm not really sure about that, but I believe there was a fire here, and then it was kind of abandoned until my mother and her ex-husband bought it in 1984. So, they moved in, and this is a classic New England house. Like I said, I'm from Maine, so in the downstairs, there's a dining room, a living room, and a kitchen that are all kind of connected, and then the bathroom is in the kitchen. Like, it's a small room that's in, like, the kitchen, and upstairs, there's 3 bedrooms, and most of this story happened in the bedroom above the dining room. So that, when my mother and everyone moved in, that was the room above the dining room was my brother's room. And one day she was home alone and she put him up there for a nap, and she went back downstairs and she heard a woman humming to him. And she went back upstairs and the humming stopped, but she never really felt scared by it. She believed it was a motherly presence. And so, you know, and she just told me this the other day, actually. She was sanding the floor when they, I guess not long after they bought the house, and, she started laughing because she felt her husband, grab her by the side and tickle her, but when she turned around, he wasn't there, he was outside of the house. So yeah. Anyway, so last year, well, I guess it was 2 years ago now, my senior year of high school, things kind of started to happen again. I was in my mother's room with our cat, and that is above the kitchen, and my mother was in the kitchen, and so I heard humming, and it sounded like it was coming from the room that's above the dining room, but I kind of just brushed it off, and I was like, my mother's in the kitchen, that's what I'm hearing, because sound travels well. So I went downstairs later, and my mom was like, oh, that was such a cute song you were singing to Tommy. Our cat is named Tommy. And I was like, I was not singing. I heard humming too, but I thought it was you. And at first she didn't believe me, but eventually, you know, she did. So yeah, that happened, and it was a little weird, but I knew the story about my brother, so I wasn't, like, worried or surprised, I guess. So then a few weeks later, I was in what is my room now, which is the room above the dining room, and I was laying in bed on the phone with my boyfriend, kind of, you know, well, it was night, whatever, and the door to that room doesn't shut all the way, so there's a small beam of light that comes in, like, shines into the room from the hallway. So as I was laying in bed, I opened my eyes and I thought I saw something in front of the door, and I was like, no, you're just tired. And I closed my eyes again. And then not too long after, I opened my eyes again and thought I saw something again. And that happened a few times until finally I opened my eyes and I saw a woman standing over the end of my bed. She had a high collar dress on and she was just watching over me. It didn't scare me. It did freak me out a little. It didn't scare me though, cause I felt that, again, it was a motherly presence and she was just watching over me. So I turned around to turn on my bedside light. And when I looked back, she was gone. And I told my boyfriend, hey, I just saw a woman in my room. And he said, go to bed. So, yeah. But I still sleep in that room. You know, that's where I sleep. I'm not scared of her. And I believe that it is Minnie Lord, which is the mother of the last person who lived here. And I believe that she's just going through her same emotions, you know, watching over her children, because I'm also the youngest child, so I feel that she may have more of an affinity towards me because I'm always going to be the baby. And so my boyfriend did not believe me, though. He didn't believe me at all. He was very skeptic about it. And so one night he was spending the night, and as I said, in the house, there's the kitchen, and the bathroom is, like, in the kitchen, a separate room in the kitchen. So he was in the kitchen getting food, and I was in the bathroom, and I left to go into the living room. And a few minutes later, he came into the living room, and he said, "How did you get here?" And I said, "What do you mean? You saw me leave the bathroom." And he's like, "Yeah, but I just saw you walk back in." So essentially, he was kind of proven wrong, and I think that it was just her being like, "Hey, I am here." So that's basically it. That's mostly the whole story. I've had other experiences, and so has my mother and many other people in our family, which I may call in and tell some other time. But that's basically it. And I've heard her humming a few other times. But I'm not scared of her. I think she's just, you know, watching over me. And I'm also a very strong Christian, and I don't believe that anything of that can harm me because I am protected by God. I truly believe that. So, I really hope you guys enjoyed it. I love the podcast so much. I just love horror and ghost stories and all of that. So keep up the good work, and hopefully someday I will be able to become a EPP, but we'll see, because I'm a college student. Thank you so much. God bless.
You know, I think if she's just walking around and humming and trying to calm children, that you're pretty lucky on that, as if you're going to have a haunting, that she sounds like she just wants to be a pleasant presence.
Until she floats by, looking like the blue lady from the library.
And she's going to tell you to shh once, exactly. And that's it.
That's your warning.
And then shit hits the fan.
One of the kids yells, "Get her," and everything goes downhill from there. Yeah, you probably got just kind of a calming ghost there.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to do the right thing. If she was a human, she'd probably be doing that, and she's a ghost, and that's where she is, and she's still trying to do that. So
yeah,
I think that's what you got. But thank you for sharing your experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you got a ghost story to share with us, please do so on the website, or you can call in 855-853-4802. If you like the show and you want it to continue on into eternity, you need EPPs. A lot of you guys already are, so thank you for that. If you're not yet, please consider becoming one. Sign up on the website, ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month, you get all 90-some bonus episodes of the show, exclusive video content, and access to a whole lot of stuff that no one else gets except our EPPs. So check that out, ghostpodcast.com. It's $5 well spent. It's what keeps this thing on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.